Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello, peoples.
Good morning.
We're back. So what were we just talking about, Liz?
Cleanses.
Or was it the cleanse thing, or you said you had something else to talk about?
No. The enema cleanse.
Oh, and okay. Yeah. Mm. All right. I thought you were talking about the other cleanse.
No.
The food cleanse. Okay.
No.
So, all right. We were talking about sometimes when something pops up into your head as an athlete that you think you might should do.
I mean, well, it was my first year. This is like decades old. It was a long time ago. I was just getting into some coaching, and I'm not even going to say what team it was, but I had, we trained, we were at our biggest meet or competition, whatever, of like the season. I mean, we'd worked all year for this event, and we had to travel for it. So I'm in my hotel room, and it's like the night before the event, and I get a knock on the door, and there's this little person standing there. I could tell they didn't want to come get me. They didn't want to say anything. And I somehow managed to pull out of them that all of the rest of the teammates were gathered in a hotel room, and that there was one person who was a fellow teammate who had been taking some online classes in health and had decided that enemas were the way to really promote health, and that everybody on the team should line up in her bathroom, and she was going to administer team enemas the night before the race, where you tie the tube to the shower.
No.
And you use the tube, and you know where it goes and what happens. And I mean, I oh my gosh, I think back on that. And like, that was one of my early years of coaching. And like, I mean, it doesn't occur to you to specify something. Like, sometimes there's a reason for the rule, right? I just like, I feel like it was like a movie, and I rushed in at the last minute and like cleared out the bathroom, and like she had all of her stuff set up, and I could hear the snap, snap of the rubber gloves.
No,
and it's
like, no. So did you feel like you were on the Truman Show, like you're getting punked or something?
Yes.
Like that? Like
I was like,
oh my God.
One, who offers this? And two, who's like, yes, that's a great idea. Three, the night before, like, the
and
event.
And four, the athletes lined up to do it.
I know. Like, the whole time.
Did but you put a stop to it all, right?
Well, clearly, yes.
Oh, my God.
Thank goodness this person had the wherewithal to be like, I don't know that this is a good idea. Because no one would have done their event very well if they'd, God knows what else would have happened.
Oh, my God.
And she was not a medical professional administering the, like,
just
this is
the whole thing. Oh, my God.
But I feel like that taught me such a valuable lesson about, really don't make assumptions. People do crazy shit.
No, people do crazy things. So I have a kind of a funny story, too. So this is the beginning of my sort of coaching also. This happens early on in my coaching thing. And so I'm holding a speed work session. And thank goodness this was like one of my friends that I had been running with for years as well. So it was like we had a really good, solid relationship. But he walks up, and I'm like, something is wrong with this getup that you have on. And I'm like trying to figure out what it is. Like, what? It's kind of like, what isn't right in this picture? I'm like looking at it, and I realize he has like two left shoes on. Okay, he's got two left.
What?
Two like the running shoes. Like, you know how they have like a curve a little bit?
I do. There's a right and a left shoe.
And I'm like, what is going on here? And he says, well, I accidentally packed, because he had come from work, and so he had packed up his stuff to run, because I accidentally packed two left shoes. And
No.
He asked me, is it okay? Can I run it? Can't I do speed work?
No, God, no.
I was like, no, and I was like, I gave him the riot act, because he was like, now if it had been a new athlete that I didn't know, I would have been much more like professional about it. But I was like, good God, no. And then
that's dedication, man. I know.
Right. I mean, and it's also a sign of like, this is how crazy runners can be and athletes can be. And so then another one of our really good friends comes up who, like, we were kind of all, we ran together, same pace, kind of ran races together and everything. And she comes up, and I said, hey, what do you think? What do you think's wrong about his getup. I wanted to see if she could notice it. And she goes, his shirt's too tight.
No, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. So then I am dying laughing. I mean, tears are just going down because now I can see his. So I was like
two love shoes and a really tight shirt.
Okay. Well. So, anyways. All right.
We've all had those days, man.
Oh my god, it's just so funny. And if you know this guy too, I mean, it was just hilarious. Okay. So, today we are going to be talking about training with heart rate. And I have to tell you, I don't coach that way. I'm coaching runners, not triathletes, just to make that clear. And I don't run that way myself. I don't train myself via heart rate either for running. But when I started training with you, when I hired you to be my triathlon coach, I gained a new respect for how important it is, especially in triathlon. And, you know, for me, you know, there was one time you tried a heart rate run with me and I was like, I was either lunging or running. It was going to be like a lunge walk or a run to get the heart rate to match up. So that didn't work, but that's okay. It's probably on me and all that. But, where we really focused on it was on the bike for me personally. And it was huge because, and I'll let you go into the details about it, but you know, I had to keep my heart rate down on the bike in order to save my run. Basically that was what worked for me. And it was hard to do that, but I could tell how important that was and how it was critical in the outcome of my race. And by the way, that was like a half Ironman. It wasn't, you know, a full Ironman. So I imagine it's even more, you know, exponentially more important to be following that. And, you know, a lot of runners, and I'm sure you'll get into this, is like just hate the idea of heart rate training. And it doesn't work for everybody if you're, you know, when you're running, like if you're training to run. But when I do come across an athlete, especially if they're going to be doing like an ultra marathon distance, or someone that is interested in the heart rate training, I do recommend them, you know, to you, because it's just not in my wheelhouse, and I'm not, you know, that's not how I train. I monitor the heart rate in terms of like, oh, okay, what's it looking like? What's the overall grand scheme? Oh my gosh, our heart rates are starting to get really high, and they normally weren't that high for that same pace. And I'm noticing, you know, okay, that's a sign of, you know, illness or burnout or whatever. So it's like a data point that I watch, but not, you know, training for a specific heart rate. So I'm going to pass the little mic off to you, and you're going to tell us and explain to us all about heart rate training.
Well, we're just going to talk about why heart rate's a useful metric in triathlon training. We're not going to get into the weeds. Just, you know, conceptually and definitely runners, most runners that I get, like they are the ones that dislike the heart rate training the most. There's a lot of resistance to it, which I understand. I mean, it's different. A couple things. One, you know, heart rate isn't, it's a metric that I always watch, but there's lots of coaches with lots of ideas about how to train the run. I mean, there's walk run, there's pace, there's volume, focus, there's, you know, and not all run events are the same. I mean, I think we lump it all into the same category, but you know, a 5K is not a marathon, is not an ultra, is not running off the bike, is not a 100-yard dash, you know, I mean, so there's a lot of factors that go into that. But also, you know, triathlon is not, it's not three disciplines in one sport. Triathlon is one sport into itself. It is not like swimmers, triathletes who swim do not train like swimmers. Triathletes who run should not be training like runners.
Yes.
Triathletes who bike do not, you know, are not training the same as bikers. And I think that there's, you know, we forget that there's so much information about each of those three disciplines. And when you take that information, you don't just apply that to triathlon the way that you apply, you know, so I will use pace for runners, but it's only when they get to a certain point in the triathlon training where they're ready for that, because their body, otherwise you'll hurt them or you'll burn them out. So I can't just, you know, I'm figuring out as a coach, I'm working with three, maybe four disciplines if they're also doing strength training, whereas a run coach is working with one discipline, a swim coach and a bike coach. And so it's not just taking that information from those three disciplines and applying it to a triathlete in the same way. And so the reason, you know, just, and I think there's a lot of confusion about why the heart rate even matters. So I'm just, I'm not going to get into the weeds with like how you actually use the heart rate. I'm just going to kind of talk about why it's something that as an athlete out there, you know, all you need to do is really pay attention to what it's doing and develop your own frame of reference for what your own heart rate does, right? And yeah. it just means watching it. It doesn't need to be complicated. But the heart rate is a metric that is giving us information about how hard our body's working, right? And I think that gets confused because people are like, well, I know how hard I'm working when I'm going a certain pace, or I know how hard I'm working when I'm hitting a certain power on the bike. But we've all had those days where it's like you go out and run 10-minute miles one day and it feels super easy. And you go out and run 10-minute miles 3 days later and it feels really hard. And the metric that is going to change with that is your heart rate. So then you know how hard your body is working to hit that pace. So that pace isn't always reflective of how hard you're working. And so we want to know that. And, you know, heart rate's a finicky metric. So this is just an overview, right? There's a lot of things. And that is why it's really important to... You don't just look at your heart rate and instantly know all the data. It has to be, you develop a picture and it's a working tool, right? But the reason that it matters in terms of how hard your body is working on any given day is because your body can only work so hard for so long, right? Before it implodes. And it's not just in a race. Like people tend to think that's just in a race. Oh, I can only go, you know, so hard for so long before I bonk. But it's also in your everyday training. And so you can only do so many hard days in a week or so many hard days in a row. And so as a coach, I use that because if an athlete's heart rate is running even slightly higher than it should over the long period of time, it'll erode your fitness. And I've seen it happen, and it will, you know, over the long term, you can sometimes burn yourself. I mean, I have a friend who will never be able to, like she had completely eroded her aerobic base and will never be able to do anything again because she did it for decades without realizing it. So it's really a serious problem. But for me as a coach, if I'm watching that and their heart rate's a little bit higher, like we've talked about on this podcast, how much you stress the body changes how much you need to recover. And so that changes what I'm doing for somebody with their recovery and what they need. You know, some people are watching their heart rate in swimming. I don't tend to use that a lot in swimming.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I thought, oh, well, I have the swim strap, you know, for my Garmin.
Yeah.
That was heart rate. You're like, nope.
Well, and that, you know, the technology now is getting better.
So that
you're getting a better read. And so I have started with some people who use that. That's kind of a whole topic unto itself. You know, and now they're getting goggles where you can see your heart rate while you're doing it. And that will become much more something that we use a lot more prevalently. But there's also so much going on in the swim that's kind of comes
impacting
before
the
that.
Heart rate. Yeah.
So the swim is sort of coming along, but it's not like... Well, I don't use it the same way I do on the bike.
Well, and it's very different because you are parallel. You're parallel to your heart, so the heart function is very different than if you're sitting upright on a bike or running, where
you're also holding your breath.
Yeah,
right.
Holding
your breath, and like there's a lot of things that make your heart rate go up when you're swimming that aren't related to the same things that they are on the bike.
Yeah,
and
necessarily, like the effort. Yeah, interesting.
It's a little bit more complicated in terms of knowing what you're getting from that reading, but. Well, because I want to be coherent.
I do have you mentioned just a little bit ago about how the heart rate is showing, you know, like your ability to recover from the workouts as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was training and I reached out to you and I said, oh my God, I just took my dog for a walk and my heart rate was way higher than it would be normally for that type of activity. Mm-hmm. And we both agreed. We were like, whoa, okay, that's a sign. We need to... So I remember you saying, we need to cut back
a little bit. So what that would tell me is your body's working really hard for something that it usually wouldn't. And so that, you know, that gives us some information about resting possibly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that is true on the bike and the run. Like the heart rate reflects. Now, there's a couple things that are different about using the heart rate on the bike and the run. With the bike, first of all, most of the time... the heart rate isn't going to be as high on the bike as it is on the run, unless you're a trained cyclist or you've been doing unless you're a really like super high level trained cyclist or you've been doing triathlon for a long time, simply because what makes our heart rate go up is how hard the muscles are working. And the bike physically is just not, we're not strong enough on the bike to get the heart rate up in the same way we are on the run. And the run is just so much naturally harder that the heart rate goes up higher. So it's normal to see a difference. And for most people, until they reach like a pretty high level in their fitness, there's about a 10 beat difference for the same effort on the bike and the run. And so that's just, there's just some nuance there. But what I find is that while that heart rate, and you didn't have power meter at the time we were doing it. And so that's part of why we use the heart rate with you. And that's still, it's a helpful metric. It's especially helpful when you pair it with a power meter, which I'm not going to really go into right now. But what I find with the bike is that the heart rate is not usually the limiter on the bike for people. And so what I mean by that is that most of the time, either people's legs are going to be the thing that gets tired rather than the heart rate and the breath rate being the thing that's like limiting you from going farther. So usually we're working more with like how the legs are feeling before the cardio. Not always. That's definitely not always the case, but I find that more often. And the other thing that often limits people on the bike before they get to exhaustion with their cardio system is fueling. And so those are two things that kind of come into play a little bit differently on the bike. And that heart rate kind of takes, it's important, especially if somebody doesn't have a power meter as a part of that. But there's some other things that come into play in a different way than they do with the run for heart rate. And so when you get to the run for triathlon is much more of a wild card. And I think, especially for people who come from a running background, it's really hard because it's like, it's the same motion. It's the same thing that I've been doing for all these years. And I've trained by pace or I've trained by this, but because it's not the same event, right? Mm-hmm. It's like mountain biking isn't the same as road biking, isn't the same as gravel biking, or open water swimming isn't the same as pool swimming. There are differences in, you know, the heart rate is important for those reasons, especially in the run for triathlon. And it's different. It's important for different reasons for training versus racing. But part of when you get to the run, part of the reason that it's a wild card is because there's so many more factors that are influencing the run. By the time you may start a run race and it's early in the morning, your core temperature's down, you go in hydrated, you're maybe topped off with fuel. But by the time you start running in triathlon, you're well into a race. I mean, you may only be an hour, but that's still a long time before you start running. You may be 8 hours into a race. So your legs are fatigued and that changes things. And your core temperature is going to be burning much hotter, which changes, you know, how high your heart rate is. It changes how you're using fuel. Outside temperatures are usually warmer. You're often more dehydrated. What fuel you're using has changed, because as your heart rate goes up, your body shifts what it's using for fuel. And so just going by pace, and also you can get off the bike and be going much, much harder than you think you can. And so you're ripping off these miles that your body cannot sustain, and you don't really realize it because you feel good and you don't have, it's kind of confusing. You need a metric really to hold you back. That's really what you're using.
Did that for me, and that did work actually. So
actually, are you shitting me? No shit, it worked. What the hell, people?
So I kept my, even though people were passing me on that
bike. Yeah, but they were imploding at the end of the
race.
They
did implode. I passed every single one of them on the run. But I did fail to mention that I did you had me in the first, and this was for me specifically, but you had me that first 3 miles of the run hold my heart rate down, which I did, and it did hold me back. I was capable of doing that first 3 miles. And then you told me at that point, and this was again for a half, you know, knowing my running history and knowing, you know, I how I experienced my rate of perceived exertion, how much effort I was giving, you said that now you can just kind of go for it there and go with what you feel is the right level. But that was really important because I was also really super excited to like start the run, you know, in that first 3 miles. So it really did, it did work for me. And I was able to watch that because you gave me a range that was like reasonable for me to have. It worked out really well. But then after that first 3 miles or so, I was able to kind of just, you know, stop looking at that and just go and do my thing.
Well,
and
yeah,
it worked out really well.
And you practice that stuff. And, you know, yeah,
like and exactly, practice it in training.
But, you know, that, and especially around those transition periods in triathlon, I mean, if you Like, for example, that heart rate coming out of the swim into the bike, you're coming off of a swim, you know, which your heart rate very well may be up from that. You've gone through transition, you're getting on your bike, and now you're also super excited and you're amped up and you're on that bike. And that period of time, you know, for triathletes, you really need to start eating and drinking right away on the bike. But if you're not paying attention to your heart rate and you're really amped up in that first part of that bike and you start cramming that food in your face, then you're going to end up with GI upset that throws the rest of your day. And so, you know, that's again, how hard is your body working and what can it do? And that's the same. You get off on that run and it's just, you know, there's a lot of sensory information that's going on. And you really need a way to check in and hold yourself back. And it's not just, you know, part of the reason that you use that in training is because if you don't have a frame of reference for your own heart rate and you know the things that affect it and what it normally looks like, you're not going to know when it's off. And so even if you're like, you know, even my runners who, and you know, I get enough pushback from my runners that I often, what I do to backdoor the heart rate training is to figure out like what pace I want them at for
right.
their heart
oh, yeah.
rate.
Uh-huh.
And they usually don't want to run that slow. And, you know, we work through it. People do different things. And I have some people who that's not going to work at all. And that's fine. This is just information as to why it's something to consider. But, you know, watching that and getting your own frame of reference so that you know, like, when something is off and then you can troubleshoot better.
Yeah. So to be clear, you know, there's just, for example, for myself, you know, my heart rate at a, you know, just a moderate sort of pace, talking pace, right, is when I'm running could be anywhere from, you know, 160 to 170. Well, if you go and do that math equation, and I know you didn't want to get into real details about how to figure out the heart rate, but you do that 220 minus your age or something.
That's,
you know,
that doesn't work.
That's BS anyways. But also like some of the other formulas out there. And it's like, you know, they would say, well, it looks like your heart's going to explode, but that's not true at all. And just to be clear, when you're looking at all the data, when Liz is looking at all the data, she's looking at patterns for like what is you, right? So it's not like a formula. It's not like a number and everyone's operating at this if you're this certain age or whatever. That's just BS.
No, right. I mean, and with anything, I think we want the formula that's going to tell you where you need to be, but you really take, you know, it's like when I was coaching swimming, it's, if you're a coach, you're looking at the data and then you're forming the picture based on that. It's not based on a formula. And that's
personalized to each person.
Which is why athletes need to pay attention to what they're doing. But, you know, going back to kind of just the whole idea of why it matters, especially, you know, people are like, well, what's too high? And instead of getting into like how you're going to figure that out, like conceptually what I tell people, again, your body can only go so hard for so long. And especially for the races I coach, if you are, you know, going for, you know, 5 to 17 hours, that's a long time. And that's, you know, that's already longer than a marathon. It's a different race. It's not running, right?
Yeah.
And the idea of how long you can go before you shut down, I tell people is like, if you think of a bathtub.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, you have a faucet and the faucet's running and you can turn the faucet on to a certain intensity when the drain can still keep up, right?
Yes.
And so there's no extra water accumulating in the bathtub. And inside your body, when you're working hard, your muscles create byproduct, right? And that byproduct can get cleaned away so it doesn't slow you around. People think that this is lactic acid. It's not lactic acid.
Nope.
It's actually hydrogen. It doesn't really matter, but we all know when we start working super hard that our muscles start to shut down. And that's a byproduct of working hard, right? And so you can work to a certain level and your body can continue to clear away that stuff so that you can keep going. But once you cross a certain threshold, your body can no longer keep up with clearing away the byproduct and it starts to accumulate and shut you down. And that is measured by heart rate. So where your heart rate is tells you, are you below that threshold or are you above that threshold? And that's why you want to pay attention to it, because if you start going above it, that's where you're going to run into bonking.
The bathtub's going to start to fill up
and you start to implode.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, just conceptually something for you, and it doesn't need to be complicated. It's actually one of the easier metrics. It's pretty reliable. I would say definitely, you know, the technology is getting better with the wrist. I still firmly believe that the chest strap is what you need, but I mean, you know, you can put it on and just start to develop your own frame of reference for it, but it can save you if you're making pacing decisions. So
yeah,
that's it. That's all I got.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
We are in this together. Until next time.